This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
I'm going to do a special message tonight. I think it'll be a little different. I want to talk a little bit tonight about how do you respond to loss. There's been loss all around, and I want to look at it from three different angles. I want to look at it from someone who has suffered loss, and get it from their eyes. I want to look at it from someone, how do you help someone who has had some loss, and then what are some best practices that you can do if you're in a loss situation, or some of us, and I'm grateful for everybody who got out of harm's way. By the way, if you need help, if you're here in the church and you need help, please go back there and sign up. We need to know who you are. We're not mind readers. We've got to know. But let's talk about loss. So let's pray, and then we'll share tonight, and we'll be out of here about 8 o'clock. But I trust this will help you. Heavenly Father, we're grateful tonight for your goodness. We thank you, Father, that we are, as a church, we're able to give, able to do something. Thank you for so many that have such a heart to bless and such a heart to help. So, Father, I thank you. Thank you. Ask you, Lord, that you would strengthen the volunteers in Houston and around our area, Father, that you would strengthen those who are weary, who have been serving multiple shifts. Strengthen them. Give them help, Father. Give them strength. And, Father, thank you that this volunteer effort can continue, that it's in our heart to make a difference. So tonight, Father, we just look to your word. We look to your spirit. We're open to receive what you've got to tell us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In the... We're going to look just in a moment on the screens, but there is a passage in 1 Samuel that I've gone to frequently. It's actually one of my favorite passages, and I've looked at it. There's so many different ways you can look at it. And this one we're going to look at it from a loss perspective tonight. The idea is it's about one of everyone's favorite characters, David. And David, wonderful leader, wonderful king. He had just such a spiritual bent to him, and yet he was a warrior. He's just a classic guy in the Bible. But at this point in time, he's not king. He's a fugitive. And as he's a fugitive, he's getting ready. He's having to run from Saul. He's surrounded by enemies. He's just in a difficult situation. And so he and his men have been away, and they come back to the city that they're living in. Their city's in enemy territory. And they come back to the city, and we're going to find out what happens because they experienced some severe loss. So let's look here where it says, "Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag." That's where they were living. "On the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but they carried them and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Anoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. And now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." I want to talk about this a little bit tonight because we're going to look at loss. And I think the first one is this is a heart-wrenching loss. If some of you had television, I know some of you didn't have power, but some of you had television, you could not watch what was going on without your heart going out to people. Joy and I, and after a while, we just, both of us looking at one another with tears in our eyes. I mean, my goodness, these people are coming out. And it was heart-wrenching. It is a loss. Now, here's the deal. Two kinds of losses. They came back and their city was burned. So in other words, everything's gone. In a material loss, when someone loses material loss, you got all kinds of things going through your head. One, how am I going to replace this? Two, I've got things that I've lost I can't replace. There are things, and I heard one guy on the news said that, you know, he got back into his house just in time to grab the wedding dress and the guns and get out. He said, just had to get the important stuff. So, you know, but you think about it. People, when they go through this, they lose things. And so the idea of material loss. Now, real quickly, when you're dealing with someone who has lost stuff, don't look at them and go, it's just stuff. Let them say that. That needs to come out of their mouth, not yours. So you come and say, well, it's just stuff. And they're going to look at you and go, it was my stuff. It's like looking at someone going, oh, you lost a child? Well, you have two other ones. Not good. That doesn't work. And so the idea is when someone has lost something, the best thing to say is, sorry for your loss. I'm sorry. Not, well, you know, it's just stuff and we don't take stuff to heaven. I don't know about you. I like my stuff. You like your stuff? Yes. And these people have lost stuff and it's material. Ziklag, when David and his men came to Ziklag, they didn't just lose stuff, they lost family. And not only did they lose family, but there was a level of uncertainty in the loss. And that makes it worse. See, I woke up this morning, my first thought went to people who were sleeping in shelters. And I'm thinking, they're sleeping in a shelter. One of the biggest problems is, what's left of my home? What's left of, in my neighborhood? It's that uncertainty. I watched a couple from, I think, the Round Rockport area. She was pregnant. They had to leave before the hurricane hit. I mean, we've been flooded. We forget we've got a whole area of Texas that's been just smacked with a major hurricane. And these people, she had to leave, and the husband kept saying, we just want to know what happened to our home. And so in a situation like that, when people are dealing with uncertainty, that compounds the loss. And it makes it worse. And so again, when someone is hurting like that, you know, the best thing we can do is do actually what the Bible says in Romans 12, 15. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You're hurting, we're hurting. And so that's going to be a response that will help. Now, David and his men, when they came there to Ziklag, their response was pretty much normal. The Bible said they cried till they couldn't weep anymore. In other words, they just went. Now, these are men, the Jewish men, you have to understand, were very passionate people. When they were happy, they shouted. When they were sad, they ripped their clothes and cried. And they were not stoic. And so these guys, they cried till they couldn't cry anymore. And the Bible makes it very clear that David lost as well. So their families are gone. Now, you're thinking, what's happened to my family? Or what could be happening to my family? You've always got a couple of people, you always got, on the positive side, you've got people going, well, maybe everything is good. On the negative side, you've got people thinking they're dead, and usually most people are right in the middle. We don't know. So they had loss. David is experiencing loss. And there's another area that David is experiencing loss, is that as a leader, you feel responsible for not just you, but the people that are with you. And that's another additional pain. That's another additional burden. And David's feeling this. And so we see here that on David, the pressure actually increased. So he's feeling the pressure of being a leader. I know that Joy and I, three kids, their families, we wanted to make sure everyone's okay. My youngest is in Angleton, Texas. The water's going that way. We want to make sure everyone's okay, but we felt it not just for them. We're thinking about staff. How's staff? And then we're asking, what's going on with church members? You feel that. And so then here's David now. Now he's got an additional problem. Not only is he feeling the personal loss, not only is he feeling loss for his people, but now his men are thinking of turning on him. And they're thinking of stoning him. For those of you not familiar with that term, it's a biblical term. It's how they used to kill people. Used to pick up rocks and just pelt them with rocks until they died. Horrible way to die. And so with David, they're thinking of stoning him. And so he's got a scenario. You say, well, how in the world could that happen? And the Bible said that the soul of the men were grieved, and another word is bitter. Bitter is a combination of sorrow and anger. And it's not a good combination, because people who are bitter over loss can lose perspective as well. Here's these men, and they were followers of David. They loved David. But when people lose, and there's just that sorrow and anger, then the thing can go to bitter. And when you're bitter, oftentimes you're looking for someone to blame. Bitter and blame go hand in hand. And so here they are with David, and even though David had rescued them, most of David's mighty men, if you read about them, David's men were not a happy group when they came to him. The Bible said everybody who was in debt, everyone who was in distress, everyone who was just, their life was messed up, they all came to David. and David helped them. And so what had happened was, you get bitter, you completely lose perspective. You completely lose the fact that David had helped you and David had done some wonderful things. And oftentimes when people get bitter, they start to blame. I don't know if you watched, I guess because I was home, I just was riveted, and I was watching the mayor of Houston. And the mayor of Houston is sitting up there, they're trying to organize a mass effort to help people. And somebody's asking the mayor, why didn't you evacuate the city of Houston? And I think he finally had enough, because he finally fired back up. And I'm like, I can feel you, brother. I know exactly. How do you evacuate 6.5 million people? Anybody remember the last time we tried to evacuate? In fact, my family told me, they said, no, Dad, we'd rather ride up a force 5 hurricane with you in the house than be with you on 45 in a traffic jam. Just spare us from that. We'll stay. Evacuation was crazy stuff. But here's my point is, why are you bringing that up now? Why, we're trying to get people out, and you're going, why didn't you do this? And the people that have been after Joel Osteen, I got no love for you at all. None. Zero. I know him personally. I know his family. I know that's a family that deeply cares about Houston. And if they had reasons for not setting that up, then they didn't set it up until they could. And it's, I got no love for critics sitting at home on their rear ends writing blogs. None. If you be out helping somebody else, you ain't got time to blog. But I feel better about critics than I do about looters. And I agree with that sign I saw, you loot, we shoot. And if you're a church, in Jesus' name, I say. I know that's probably the only thing you guys are going to remember for this whole message, but I hope you got that part. Here's the thing, and this is what you want to help people with. Understand if people are blaming. Understand if they lose perspective. Here's the challenge. Bitterness never makes betterness. That's my own word. I made that up, but bitterness does not make betterness. And you want to help people get out of that, and you want to help them begin to recover from that. And the thing about it is, it moves you farther from godly wisdom. It moves you farther outside. And I've watched it over the years, guys. Being bitter is not a solution. People look for someone to blame. They're angry. They're hurting. They reach out. So if you hear that, if people lash out at you, people you love, and you're like, what in the world's going on? Understand, they're hurting. They're in sorrow and anger. It makes them bitter. They just don't want to stay there. That's not where you want to stay. Here's how David responded. And David's response, I really believe, helped his recovery. The first thing is he did not answer the people. You know, when someone is bitter, and David didn't go out and try to talk to them, he didn't go out and try to appease them, it's very difficult to reason with someone who is bitter. And here's another thing. Don't tell them to cheer up or to snap out of it. That's not going to work. Proverbs, there's an interesting proverb. It's Proverbs 25:20. And it says this, like one who takes away a garment in cold weather and like vinegar on soda is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. You know, if someone's cold and you take their coat away from them, that's inappropriate. When someone's got a heavy heart and you're popping around going, you might elicit a response from them that you don't want. But it's not appropriate to sing songs to a heavy heart. Remember, we rejoice with those who rejoice. We weep with those that weep. They need a hug, not your snap out of it, tear up face. Now, eventually, we want them to get to that place. But when someone's hurting, give them a break. We've got Abigail and Mike Hummer are here. They're on our staff. And Abigail was talking today about she flooded last year. And she was talking about how it hurt her and how she just wanted somebody to pray with her, someone to give her a hug. And Abigail and Mike are in the Welcome Center tonight. And if you have flooded for the first time, we talked about this, oftentimes people are like, what do I do? If you flood for the first time, they're back there. If you'd like to talk to them, they can at least tell you what to do, what the process is, how to get going. One of the challenges is sometimes people just get paralyzed. They don't know what to do. And so Mike and Abigail are back there. You know, Mike's the handy guy. He's kind of quiet. If Abigail can create it, can conceive it, he'll build it. And they're a great couple. So if you need help, just touch base with them. But again, you don't want to sing, you don't want to sing songs to a heavy heart. So he didn't answer the people. David does not blame God. I realize the media sometimes likes to call what happened to us an act of God. I don't believe God sent a hurricane that destroyed thousands of homes and hurt people and killed people. That's not my God. My God's someone who gets people out of stuff like that, not someone who causes stuff like that. We're living in a cursed earth. It has the curse of the effects of the curse are in it. And David didn't blame God. Psalms 34:6, David said, "This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles, not stuck him in all his troubles." And he's a God that helps us get out. So blaming God, not a good response. Here's the next one. He did not question God. Now, here's something. I want you to hear me on this one. Those who get stuck on why don't usually get stronger. We mean stuck on why. Now, listen, you say, well, Alan, haven't you ever asked God why? Yes, sure I have. Go through something difficult, and oftentimes some of that first response is, why? God, why are we dealing with this? Here's what I want to share with you. You don't want to stay stuck on why. Because oftentimes you're not going to get answers, and it doesn't help you. Now, David was the writer of the majority of the Psalms. There's 150 Psalms. He wrote most all of them. I looked them up. He only asked God why in a very few Psalms. But when he gets to why God has this happened, he winds up in a place where, God, you're my strength, you're my rock, you're my fortress. And so often, listen, I understand. People go, they're looking at us going, why? But that's not where you want to stay. You want to get to the place where, God, you're my rock, you're my fortress, you're my stronghold, you're my help. Now look at this here. David's talking. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Then he answers it. He said, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. You can see what David's going through. You can see his emotions. You can see what he's dealing with. He's like, God, why? I got my enemies. I'm oppressed. I've got the enemy going, where's your God? Where's your God? And then he catches himself and he talks to his soul and he goes, soul, you can't be cast down. Soul, you can't be depressed. You got a hope in God. I'm going to praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. That's someone who comes out of being in a bad situation, not someone who stays in. Listen, you come out on the inside before you come out on the outside. You got to get strength on the inside before you come through on the outside. Going, why is not going to get you to answers. Going, you're my God, you're my hope, you're my rock, you're my fortress, will get you where you need to be. Does that make sense? So you want to help people. If they're going, why did all this happen to me? Go, hey, I just tell them, I don't know. I know there's an enemy. I know we're living in a cursed earth, but I also know that God will help us, and I know that God will see us through. So David, you say, well, Alan, how do you know that David didn't blame God? And how do you know that he didn't stuck on why? Because the Bible says he encouraged himself, or he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And let me just close with this. He strengthened himself in God, or he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David was encouraged earlier in his life by a man named Jonathan. Jonathan was Saul's son. And Jonathan came to David, and this is what he said to him here. Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father, Saul, knows that. Notice he said that encouraged David. How did he encourage him? He encouraged him, don't be afraid. God's plan is still going to come to pass in your life. Don't be afraid. God's still God. Don't be afraid. God's not going to allow you to go through, to die. Saul's not going to be able to defeat you. You're going to be king. That was God's plan all along for David. And so David could have in this time at Ziklag, he could have been going, God, I'm just so upset. I lost my family. Everyone's mad at me. Why, God? But the Bible said he strengthened, or he encouraged himself. Jonathan wasn't there. Nobody was happy with him. But somewhere David began to reach down and he began to say, God, I want to thank you. I want to praise you. I want to give you glory. I want to thank you, Lord, that if anyone can get me out of this situation, you can. And somewhere he found encouragement. So what does encouraging yourself in the Lord? Now, here's the great thing. You may be sitting here tonight going, Alan, I'm really blessed. I mean, we didn't lose anything. My family's okay. Everybody's okay. I don't know that this really pertains to me. Everybody knows somebody that lost something. But here's the other thing. If you can learn how to encourage yourself in the light, then it's a whole lot easier when it's dark. If you can learn to begin to say, how do I begin to encourage myself in the light? When things aren't bad, start to encourage yourself in the Lord. Start to learn to do that. And if you can do that, then when things go bad, you got muscle memory. Spiritual muscle memory. How many of you are anybody in the military? You've been in the military. You can raise your hand. It's okay. Been in the military. Don't they teach you how to strip a gun? If you strip a gun, you can do it in the dark. You can get it done in the dark. Don't y'all act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about guns. But the idea is, if you'll do it when it's light and there's no pressure on, then when you hit a situation like this, learning to encourage yourself in the Lord will make all the difference in the world. Now here's what David did. Is his response. And here's what he said. If you think about it, David had nothing he could encourage himself with. Nothing around him was encouraging. Home was burned. Family is kidnapped. All his men are trying to kill him. That's not an encouraging situation. That's a negative situation. He said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. I like this psalm here in Psalms 3:1. It says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. How do you encourage yourself in God? We have to be able to take our eyes off the stuff, off the negatives, off the flood, the loss, the hurt, the pain, and begin to shift it over and say, God, I'm trusting you. I love the verse that Joy shared tonight. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I don't lean on my own understanding. What are we saying? Lord, I'm trusting you in the middle of this. I'm trusting you to help me through. What's that going to do? That's going to help encourage yourself in God. Say, Alan, I don't have anybody that can encourage me. That's one reason we suggest church. When you come, you'll see people who are encouraged. Wasn't it nice to see people who are smiling? Wasn't it nice to see people who are worshiping? And you're like, oh yeah, there's a God, and he's good. I'm going to close with this. It's a wonderful verse. It's found in the book of Habakkuk. It's not on your notes. Habakkuk's where all the pages stick together, including mine. Well, Alan wasn't thinking. I will find it. Justin, can we have some music? Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high hills. When things don't look good, when things have not been well, when we see harm and destruction all around, we have to be a people who can lift up our eyes and go, I don't see anything good out here, God, but you're still the God of my salvation. You're still the God who helps me. You're still the God who can help me go through this. You can help my loved ones. Many of us have loved ones who are hurting right now, but God can still help them. And we need to be beacons of hope in the middle of this. People that say, hey, listen, we're going to pray for you. We're going to trust in God. I think one of the most important things is, and I realized it during this storm, it made me realize I'm so glad that I know my Savior. I'm so glad I know to whom I belong. I'm so glad I know Him. And I think one of the most important things is you face a situation like that and you're thinking, man, I know if something did happen, I know in my heart, I know exactly where I'm going to go. And that's important. And if you don't know that, let's get that right tonight. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me. Close your eyes. Please, no one leaving or moving. Tonight, I'm going to do two prayers. I'm going to do prayers. This prayer, if you're saying, Alan, I don't know that I have a relationship with the Lord. I don't know that I'm right with Him, but I want to. I want to pray that prayer tonight. Maybe you're saying, I'm not confident that I've made Jesus Christ my Lord and my Savior. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. We're going to say that prayer. But if that's you that I'm talking to, and you're saying, Alan, that's me, maybe you don't know. Maybe you knew at one time. Maybe you've gotten away from God, but you're just not sure, and you want to make it sure. I'm just going to ask you to have the courage to say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Quickly, just slip your hand up across the auditorium. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate your courage. Anybody else? Thank you. Wonderful. Great. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You go, oh, I really wanted to lift my hand. I really wanted to know. Listen, this is a heart prayer. We're going to pray it with you. We're going to pray it out loud. Pray so you can hear yourself pray. We're going to pray it all together. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. Now, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to pray one more prayer. Father, for those tonight who are here, whose minds are struggling because they're thinking about family members or they're thinking about their very own situation, I thank You for a peace in their hearts that can pass all understanding. Father, for those who have loved ones in places who are hurting right now, we pray for them. And we ask, Lord, that You would use us to be a blessing, not just to this community, but all over this area, and a blessing to those whose lives and our lives intersect. Lord, I thank You for those who have such a heart to bless and to serve and to reach out. We ask You, Father, that we would be a light at this time in a dark place, that we would shine Your light, Your goodness, Your compassion, Your graciousness to a world that needs it so much. We give You all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.